Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Hello, Dr. Coral. Sure, this is a podcast just to cover very quickly an idea I've had about hand sanitization and going in a front door. I won't go into it any more than that. I'm doing this as I'm driving home, the last leg of my journey, so this should be a short podcast. And this is, in general, I'm podcasting to keep my cognitive ability and ideas together. So, we'll get the issue that in a particular situation, you want visitors to a particular clinic to enter the clinic through the front door, walk past the reception desk, read a sign at the far wall, and there's four signs across, and in general, I don't know whether people are detail people, but there's a hand sanitizer unit you hit, and when you hit that hand sanitizer unit, you wash your hands, and then you see the reception desk, then sit down, do your various businesses and stuff like that. And then after that, after it's all done, you see the reception desk, then you have to wash your hands again before leaving the clinic. It's beginning to rain now, isn't it? Amazing. I've got my lights on, everything's all okay. Yeah, so you leave the clinic and wash your hands, and all the time there's this door handle there that you've got to push down. So, that's the situation. I haven't described it very well, and you probably know. So it's a standard thing, a entry door, a hand sanitizer unit at the back, messaging, and a process of once when entering, you then ignore the reception desk, you walk straight over to the signs, read the signs, work out what to do, clean your hands. After you clean your hands, you walk back to the reception desk and then go through it, and then reverse the process when you go out again. So you sanitize when you come in and sanitize when you go out. Now, there's certain types of people. There's people who complain about everything and always think of a brighter idea. I'm in a slightly different situation in which I had to organize a whole series of processes of people picking up forms in class, processes in classroom, processes in a factory, and that is where they sign in and there's quality control on the product all the way through, or that we have a system that there's quality inspection at various points in time. Now, this is not to say that I'm an authority on it, just that I have been in the process of breaking things up and working out where to position things and stuff like that. And myself, I'm perhaps not the best in that I myself don't read signs. I sort of look over at a sign, I look at the graphics, I look at everything else, don't really read the content, and especially if it's not worded in such a way that you must do this, you must do that, where there's a certain amount of courtesy, calming courtesy, information or subtlety, I miss it. So there's the actual background. So my idea is that on the outside of the door going in is stuck a hand sanitizer unit, and you see the door handle and hand sanitizer unit like this, and it says instruction there. You say, immediate question is, what is this? And so you clean your hands, and while you clean your hands, you read the sign that says you got to clean it. You'll clean it once entering and on exit. And then what I would perhaps do is have a a foot pedal system, that is just a rope pedal system where you don't have to actually grasp the hand. You can the handle. You can actually, if you've got your foot down, push push and open. I don't know whether it opens inwards or outwards. I can't quite remember for that. So the idea is, say, perhaps open, yeah, like you might open the door, hold it ajar, wash your hands, then go through. So you touch the external door, you then sanitize your hands before you go into the unit. So let's go through this. Step one, open the door a bit. Step two, put some hand sanitizer in, wash the sanitizer, just move in. Oh, that's good, go. The process there. So at the door handle height is stuck onto the glass, a hand sanitizer unit with a sequence of A, open the door a little bit, two, with a simple one, two, three, two, so it would be entry sanitization process. One, open the door, hold open a little bit, two, sanitize your hands, three, enter. That's it on entry. Then on exit, so none of this before you go into reception, because you've now caught them before that process. So you've got the process of before they go in, they have to open the door. Second thing is to open the door is break the lock, hold open a little bit, hand sanitize, and out you go. So this is to actually move the sanitization into the middle of your door opening and closing. Now, it may slow it down, it may not work, but that's sort of just one way to actually get on top of it. Now, we've covered that for one moment. I've got, I suppose, a general idea from knowing various things. One is I suppose my knowledge of metal surfaces, bacteria survival rates on metal surfaces, and particulates and all this type of stuff. So we've covered that, and I've got a bit of a while before we go home, so I'll just cover a few other major ideas. One is that we've got particulates in the air, viruses in the air, and they travel through the air on stuff and sit on surfaces. What this small region of time before they sit on the air is that you really want to have the people, air exchange in any sort of place, such that the viruses get flushed out and fresh air goes in, and the viruses at least go through a region. So there's this area of sort of treating zones of your space with ultraviolet light that takes energy. Another aspect is corona discharge. So these are very sort of fine, a series of fine needles going into a space in front of a fan, and then means that the air ionizes a little bit, and any particle tends to get ionized, and then I think a virus would be ionized, would be completely stuffed, but the actual ionization would stuff it, but it would also drag it out of the air. The other interesting thing is that obviously the virus is held in some moisture. And it could well be that the moisture is the survival time. It's the virus itself is dead, but it's got to have a certain amount of moisture content. So this is why on a surface, that surface undergoes certain processes, concentrations, things evaporate. Now, so you've got your iron discharge, your corona discharge. It would be very interesting to basically ensure almost a laminar flow away from the person you don't want to get infected, so like your receptionist, have an air, positive airflow from that person, away from that person with fresh ionized air. Regions to help regions, ultraviolet light firing in certain regions, sort of black light, that would be an interesting aspect of it. The other thing is that when you're cleaning a surface, wipe it clean. My overall thought for this is that metal surfaces are your major surfaces that you have to worry about. What I would tend to do is I would ideally have a hot air blower or a radiant blower, which radiantly heats up and dries out a surface, and then you spray that with alcohol. I don't know whether the alcohol itself is destructive to the virus or it's a drying agent. So a combination of a hot surface, then the hot surface is reasonably hot, then the alcohol gets onto it and the alcohol evaporates. And I don't know, the alcohol itself, what happens with the alcohol? I think the alcohol mixes with residual moisture there and reduces its evaporation content. I don't know if the alcohol itself actively interacts with the virus, or the alcohol goes into the water and lowers the evaporation point and actually dries it out. So if you want an overall drying thing, a sort of a hot hair dryer which blows hot alcohol onto the surface would be intensely drying. I don't know whether that's a way of going going ahead to actually think. So we heat up the surface. The other aspect is that when you want to spray alcohol spray and you want it to hit a particular surface, whether you should use electrostatic things, that is, that your surface is grounded and your alcohol stuff is sprayed past a iron discharge. So what it means is that the alcohol and vapor doesn't stay in the air very long. It goes quickly and covers the entire surface. And if the surface is, this I think would be quite an interesting aspect. That is, so this is electrostatic spraying. So when they're spraying, particularly bikes or things with fiddly bits, wrought iron, things like that, you could spray it from all angles, or you use a corona discharge and use the iron charge to actually go across. So there's a lot of interesting ideas to go across in there. And of course, the other thing is to actually deal with the sort of panic factor that I found that people tend, in my experience, have tended to actually discount have suddenly a very distorted view about what authorities are, what the responsibilities of various people, risk assessment, but also evaluation of their own ignorance. So there's one thing you can't say to someone: hang on, you're ignorant, you need to go back to school and study probability. But that just sort of completely backfires. But, that is actually what's actually needed. So a lot of people I speak to are just very just very aggressive. So if I say, oh, look, I've scanned the internet and by far the best site, I think, for this is something called Worldometer. And I really recommend that you Google Worldometer and actually study that. And this is, it happens to be an international volunteer consortium of the best cited national high quality data on the world on any one aspect, and they do the coronavirus. So worldometer .com/coronavirus, just put that in your Google search engine, it will take it to you. But the interesting thing is that even though I've researched that, done some preliminary studies on anything, so before I say anything, I sort of have at least done cursory research into whether it's believable, that comes up against someone else who hasn't done that, and very much up against the actual you're in a hiding to nothing. If knowing anything is, you're in a hiding to nothing. I think that's the nature of what's going on. Okay, well, I'm going to have to stop here, and thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.